Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey guys, and welcome to Paranormal Thoughts Podcast. And as always, thanks for joining me. In this episode, I'm interviewing a paranormal investigator who bought a haunted house on purpose. Just before we get to that though, I just want to say if you enjoyed this episode and any of my previous episodes of the podcast, please subscribe, follow, like and share. It really does help. It also helps massively if you leave a review on whatever platform you use. We are on Facebook and Instagram, so you can jump on there and keep in the loop for every time we post anything. We have a blog, which is paranormalthoughtspodcast.wordpress.com. And finally, we are also on Patreon. So if you want episodes early, exclusive content, or if you just want to enjoy In Paranormal Thoughts without any of the ads, because I know they can be pretty pesky, you can jump onto our Patreon. Everyone who's over there, it's a massive support. It really does help the podcast keep afloat. So the more people who jump on over there, hopefully the more I can do Paranormal Thoughts podcast. So today we're speaking with Jill Shelley, and she's been a paranormal investigator for the last 12 years in Minnesota. Jill reached out to me with a very interesting email. Now, obviously, I've done Paranormal Thoughts podcast for, I think it's about 5.5 years now, close to 6 years. And over that time, I've gotten a fair few emails from paranormal investigators reaching out for a bunch of different reasons, but Jill really stood out to me. Because in pretty much in her first line of her email, she goes on to say that she has purchased a haunted property on purpose so she and her team can conduct research whenever they like. So that got me really excited, so I decided to bring Jill on and ask her a bunch of questions, get some evidence from her as well. So just before we get into the interview though, I just want to go through a couple paranormal terms that Jill mentions. We talk a little bit about some of the technology and equipment that paranormal researchers use when doing ghost hunts and conducting research and so on. So the three we mentioned here today are EVPs, which is electronic voice phenomenon, which is the recording of voices on hard disk recording, or I guess once upon a time it was on tape. So we have a few examples, so make sure you listen out for those in the episode of some cases that Jill had been working on. So those are really cool to get to hear. The other piece of equipment is a REM pod. So it's a small device with an antenna which creates its own electromagnetic field. And anything that disturbs that field, the REM pod will make a noise or light up. And the final one is a spirit box or ghost box. And these are, well, typically it was a broken radio that would continuously flick through frequencies and you would ask questions to the room, to spirits, and you'd try to hear answers coming through the broken radio. They've made devices since which are a little bit more specific to and tailored to ghost hunting. But those are the three pieces of equipment that we mention, and often, you know, they kind of do have these abbreviated names, and if you aren't too familiar, that's totally fine. So I thought I would give a little bit of a definition of everything, so when you do hear later in the episode us talking about these specific items, you can go, yep, great, know what those are. And with that, let's get into the episode. Hello, Jill. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on the podcast and speak with me today.
Oh, yeah. Happy to be here.
Jill, I'd love to hear about your background. How did you get into paranormal investigating? Where did it all kind of start? And just a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was always really fascinated by the paranormal since I was a really young kid. You know, just kind of like talking about the spooky ghost stories and things like that as I was growing up with my cousins. And but one of my first experiences I had really was at my grandmother's house, who had a room upstairs that none of us kids really liked. You always kind of got that standoffish feel. Somebody's kind of watching you. Like, I never really liked going in that room. Like, if I had to ever get anything in that room, I'd like run in really quick and then run back out kind of thing. But there was one particular night where I had woken up in the middle of the night. I was sleeping in the room adjacent to it, and then my parents were in a different room and I could hear them snoring. But I woke up in the middle of the night and I heard footsteps coming out of the room. And my back was facing the door, and I was probably like between 8 and 10, so I was pretty scared. I didn't want to turn around. But then I kind of felt like I kind of felt like male, but you could feel like almost like it was like burning through you, almost like just staring through you, just this most intense feel. And I heard it kind of go, then I turned around and it walked back out, and I just heard the footsteps going back to the room. And that was like so creepy to me. And then I brought it up in the morning at breakfast. Of course, my parents were like, no, we slept all night. My grandma sleeps downstairs, and she says, oh gosh, honey, that's just a ghost and he won't hurt you. And I thought, wow, if my grandma's not even affected by this, you know, so I kind of feel the fire is like, I wanted to learn more about, you know, ghosts, like what really are they? So that kind of fueled the fire to kind of transpire me into the paranormal. So I spent a lot of time, you know, just kind of reading books and watching documentaries on TV and kind of learning. And then it wasn't until the advent of, like, you know, some of the ghost hunting shows have come out that I was like, oh my gosh, you can really go out and do this. That was in about 2010. So I met a great group of people, and then we formed a group called St. Croix Paranormal. And we started a team and started going all over the country investigating.
Yeah, that's great. I love that you had that such a prominent experience at a young age, and I guess your grandmother going, and like it's I think it's nice to have a adult figure, especially, you know, a family member, be able to be open enough to be like, yeah, that's just the ghost, you know. That's great to have at such a young age. And then, yeah, 100%, I guess, I feel like for everyone watching ghost adventures, ghost hunters, things like that, really puts it in perspective, like, wow, this is something that people do and it seems really fascinating. So I can totally see how that is a big influence onto where you've kind of ended up going.
Oh, yeah. And part of it too was as we got into it, I was, you know, pretty much I was, you know, a lot of people, I'm sure, they're afraid of dying. Like, I just didn't want to be in the ground and that was it. Like that, you know, I just couldn't handle that being the end. And so doing the research that I have, I just had to prove to myself there is another side. And I feel like with a lot of the evidence and all the experiences that we've captured throughout the many, many years, I've proven to myself there is another side. And so now I kind of try to do research about like what's going on over there and try to learn a little bit about that. So now I'm a little less afraid of dying. So that's kind of part of what drove me too.
Yeah, nice. I like that. I'm always questioning, I suppose, immortality and what is sort of next, if anything. But that's a great way to get, I guess, some sort of indication that you aren't just sort of in the ground or burnt or what kind of have you. That there does seem to be this very interesting, well, I don't know, whatever the next stage kind of is, which you have some evidence of from all your investigations.
Oh, gosh. Well, we've asked, like, you know, do your loved ones come to greet you? They say, yeah. We've asked if animals were in heaven. They'd say yes. But we have noticed, though, too, when you start delving into the questions of like heaven, hell, you know, God and devils and that kind of thing, we seem to get a lot of things kind of shutting down. Like they quit talking to us or communicating with us. And I always kind of felt like, well, maybe these are things that we're not supposed to know. And I kind of was, we were at a rectory, the Saddamsville Rectory, and we were talking with a priest who had committed suicide. You know, he was known there, and, you know, as we were using the equipment and he was touching it, we confirmed that's who it was. And then I, you know, and the answer to yes is to touch the equipment. And I was like, is there a heaven? And it didn't answer anything. And I'm like, okay, so maybe you can't tell me this. And it went all the way to the yes, like, no, I can't tell you this. So that was just one of the verifications we kind of had on that too. So
it is interesting when I've spoken to mediums and people alike in the past, it does seem like these spirits do have answers, but they're not, I don't know, allowed or supposed to give us all the answers to things, which I find really fascinating. I guess a lot of people could argue that, well, that's just, you know, I guess someone working a bit of a con, you know, not having the answers. But I guess it makes sense, though, that we aren't supposed to know. You know, I guess we're all going to end up, you know, dead eventually. And I guess at that point, that's when we'll figure out and find out what those answers actually are.
Right. That's kind of what I think. But yeah, I think there's like some sort of unwritten rule that there's just certain secrets you cannot give away. You know, that's just in my research, whether I'm right or wrong, I don't know. But that's kind of my belief on it.
So I've seen that you have produced quite a lot of content for YouTube and so on. And I was just having a bit of a browse before, and it looks like you've hit some of the pretty big haunted locations like Waverley Hill Sanatorium, Edinburgh Manor. So you've obviously gone pretty global with a lot of your investigations.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, we have traveled all over the U.S. to the well-known haunted locations. We got some trips planned this year. I think we have like 5 or 6 trips planned. And some of them, we kind of like hit the, like I like to call the underground, where they're not so well-known. Because I think those are a lot of fun because they're a little bit untouched. And I think the ghosts are a little bit not seasoned, I guess, as you can say. You know, I kind of feel like when you do like the Waverley Hills and things like that, they're awesome places, but the spirits kind of know what's going on at that point. They understand REM pods and things. And so sometimes it's kind of fun to play with them when they really don't know what the heck is going on.
Yeah, it's so true, isn't it? It does feel like, you know, you might do a ghost hunt or something of like, and it seems like the tour guide or the investigator sort of running the spiel, you know, it's like a weekly thing. It's almost like they're performers in a sense, these spirits, and some nights they perform and some they don't. But it's that very interesting thing, isn't it, that they do become quite conditioned to, I guess, people and the equipment. So I could imagine, yeah, going somewhere maybe a little bit off the beaten path, some of those spirits would be quite unhinged and very curious.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to that. And you know, like I've noticed too, when we went to the Liskaxe murder house, and, you know, very well-known house, but we decided not to focus on any of the deaths that went on in the house. So we kind of focused more on the children's lives and what they were into and the games they played and the, you know, just kind of about them. And we had so much response at that house that night. It was crazy. We got the most incredible EVPs. Like I got all class A EVPs that I did not even have to like edit or anything. So we had like one of the girls' name is Lena, and one of the older boys, he's probably, I think he was like 11 or 13 maybe when he died. And I think his name was Boyd, but it's been a long time, so don't quote me on that. But anyway, he said, no, Lena, no. Like she was going to do something. We had another little boy that said, we want to touch your things, as we were putting out toys. The most incredible EVP I think I've ever got in my career is 2 EVPs of the children talking to each other, because one said, do you want to play? And then the other one goes, no way. So it's like incredible that you even get an EVP to begin with, but to getting 2 talking to each other was the most amazing EVP I think I've ever captured.
Wow. That is incredible. Especially, yeah, hearing them interact with one another. That's so unheard of.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, it was such a fun place. Yeah. We've been there twice now. So eventually we'd like to go back. We're talking about doing a throwback year where we go to some of our favorite places again.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I think we'll get into, I guess, the sort of meat of why I was very curious to speak with you, which is you have gone on and actually purchased a property that is obviously quite well known to be haunted. I guess take us back to the start of where all of this came from, because I could imagine me being very interested in the paranormal, buying a property or, you know, even just an object or something that is quite known to be haunted would be, for one, very exciting and I guess just great that you could research so closely and not have to get permission from anyone to go to these other facilities or what kind of have you. It must have been such a pipe dream for such an amount of time. So how did it all come about?
Well, traveling to all the haunted locations through the US kind of gave me the idea that that would be really cool to have your own place, that you could just go and do it when you want to and then allow other people to come in and do stuff. In 2019 is financially when I was able to move forward to purchase, you know, the Boyd House. And the way I found it was I had a really awesome realtor who knew that's exactly what I was looking for. Now, nobody advertises a haunted house. So I just kind of would look at the MLS and the criteria I was looking for, you know, as far as like location and age of house. And I would just kind of get a vibe from the house. And if, you know, we went to several different houses, but this particular house, the Boyd House, I was really, really attracted to when I first saw it. Like I just almost in a way kind of became obsessed with it before I even got to go there. So I already kind of felt like I had a connection. And then when Donna and I, which was one of our teammates, we went down to go look at the house. Realtor was running a little bit late and we were just kind of sitting there and I was like, kind of, do you kind of feel like somebody's staring at you through that attic window? And she's like, yeah, I didn't want to say, but I feel like somebody's looking at us. So you kind of got that vibe right away while we were sitting outside waiting. We came in and it was like a warm welcome house, but yet you kind of felt like somebody's watching you from afar. We did get a little bit of interaction. First, we had a REM pod go off and that went off probably within 8 minutes after us being there up in one of the, well, we turned it into the library now. And then we were running a spirit box and we heard a woman say, who are you? And then we just got like a couple kids' names on the spirit box and Bridget was one of them. So then I was kind of like, okay, well, we got a little bit of stuff. So like, what should I do now? So I checked with a psychic that I really trust and she's like, oh my gosh, yeah, there's like six spirits there. And she kind of told me all about them. And since we've been investigating, we've really confirmed a lot of stuff she said. But then I thought, well, you know what? I'm just going to ask the owner because they lived there for like 30 years. They must have something, right? And so they did have some stuff. They kind of blew it off because they were the elderly couple. And so they were kind of like, you know, if you talk about this, you're crazy. But she always said the house was always kind of funny. And she would hear old-fashioned time music playing. and just kind of weird stuff. And then I got to know the kids who still live in town now as adults, and they had so many stories that they would see an adult man. They've been touched, they've heard noises, their friends have been over and they've been touched. And so just a lot of stuff had gone on there. So I went ahead and purchased it, and it's just been a crazy ride and lots of experiences since.
Wow. It's, as you said, for one, it must have been quite a struggle to find something haunted. As you said, they don't advertise haunted houses. But the fact to stumble across this perfect location, by the sounds of it, with six entities and, you know, the past owners having a bunch of experiences and their kids, it kind of just seems like it's meant to be, doesn't it? It's the perfect location for what you're wanting.
Oh, yeah, that's how I felt when I first saw it. It's like, you know, when you're looking at something, you're like, this is the one, you know, so that's the kind of the vibe I got with the Boyd House. At first, I wasn't getting a lot of activity, you know, because we ended up renovating the house itself. Was built in 1901, but our deed goes back to 1889 when it was actually owned by the St. Louis Minneapolis Railroad. And the town itself was an old booming Wild West town way back in the day, and also butted up against the Sioux Dakota reservation line. So there was probably a lot of history that, you know, we can't find information on, because I just can't imagine it being Wild West that things did not happen. But our house was the first house right on the edge of town. It was the first house to have plumbing. The guy who owned it eventually in 1912, his name was Fred Eckhart, and he was a very well-known businessman in town. So he owned a store where he sold fancy goods and groceries, that kind of thing. He was also on the school board, the church he helped build. So just very well-respected businessman. Him and his wife actually passed away in the house, and Minnie's funeral was held there for 3 days. So they had her whole wake and everything in the parlor. Two of their children passed away. One choked to death when I believe he was like 3 years old. So we've had a little bit of that. And then we also know that there was a gal in 1970 that passed away. Now she was elderly as well. So we've never had anything other than the little boy tragic deaths that we know of. But we do get quite a bit of evidence. Fred is still at the location as well as his wife, and we'd get a lot of children activity too. But bringing the house back into the 1900s as well, we have got a lot of antiques in the house, so there could be some residual stuff from that, as well as we've purchased things that are supposedly haunted. So we do get quite a bit of different activity at the house, not even just, you know, direct with the family, but just names and crazy stuff going on that, you know, I don't know where things come from. So
a lot of death, obviously, in that house, which is pretty surreal, but probably not too uncommon for that sort of time, correct? Probably a lot of people would have died at home, and compared to how we, you know, sort of operate now.
Right. And then I've also had a psychic too say that a couple people died of tuberculosis. He goes, but you won't find that on any record. So, I mean, there's a lot of things. They didn't keep records. I'm having a hard time finding any records beyond. So 1912 is about the first information I can find. So I have information on my deed about the first owners in 1901, but I can't find any information on them. I don't believe they died in the home, but I just still don't have any information on them.
How have the spirits taken to not having an owner like they had for the last 30 years, you know, people just living in the house, doing their everyday thing, and then all of a sudden having different groups of people coming through and specifically seeking them out? Have you sort of found it's a bit of a change maybe from what the previous owners were experiencing, or is it just kind of much the same? The spirits are just interacting as they kind of always were.
At first, it was really slow going. Like, they didn't know what anything was, and I wasn't really getting any EVPs, any interaction with the equipment. I thought, oh, gosh, did I make a mistake here, you know? But then there was one day I was cleaning, and I was in the kids' room, and I just had my little REM pod bear, and I said, look, you got to let me know that you're here. I'll bring you presents. Other people will bring you presents, you know, but we just got to work together here. And then that bear went off, like, on and off all night for, like, 3 hours after that. So and then we just started getting more and more evidence. So I think now that they're learning what stuff is, because they're touching a lot more stuff, we're getting a lot more equipment interaction. We're getting a lot more spirit boxes, more EVPs. So I think they're quite getting the hang of what's going on.
Well, that's great. Obviously, that's the response you would be hoping for them getting used to all the equipment and furthering your research with all this. So I'm very curious to hear about what you have experienced or some sort of significant experiences that other people have had in that house.
I've actually heard audible voices quite often. Just recently, Teresa and I were down there and she was doing something in the kitchen. I was kind of dusting up. We had brought Minnie a fern, and she really likes ferns, but I was picking it up and I was dusting, and I heard like a woman's voice say two words, but I thought it was Teresa because it almost sounded different, like not her voice, but I was like, oh, she must be turning on one of her pieces of equipment, was my thought. And then seconds later, she said, what did you say? And I'm like, oh my gosh, I know. So then at that moment, I go, what did you hear? And she said, she heard leave it. So I think it was Minnie like telling me to leave the plant alone. So that was pretty cool. But I've been touched, like I said, audible voices. I've heard footsteps, doors opening. My husband has actually seen a woman standing on the stairwell. He actually came up the stair, or he came in through the front door, looked up at the top of the stairs, and there was a woman standing there with kind of like medium length brown hair, white, and just like he looked at her real quick because he thought it was me for a second, and then all of a sudden she was gone. So he then at that point he's like, well, that wasn't her. So so yeah, he's had that, but yeah, a lot of noises and things like that. So yeah, it's just been incredible, the kind of stuff we get. A lot of a paranormal equipment interaction, we get quite a bit of that.
That must be very exciting. You know, like I just couldn't imagine having this whole property that I guess it's sole purpose from now on, isn't it? It's to sort of further your understanding and research and so on. It's very cool.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun too, because I get more, like when you go to these well-known haunted locations, you get like what, 8, 10, 12 hours at the max. That's it. That's all you have to make that connection. And then with me having the Boyd House, I'm there a lot. So we have, I treat my spirits, with a lot of respect, a lot of conversations with, I'll just tell them about my week, what's going on, how has your week been? If I get any feedback, or maybe I've seen video of one of the groups that have been there, I'll bring it up and say, hey, that was funny when you did this, or, that kind of stuff. So we kind of do that rapport. I've actually, so they know me by name. So we've had EVPs of my name being called out. They're very intuitive. They watch a lot of things going on. One of our favorite EVPs is we were at the dinner table. The team was. I mean, I think we were just talking about like farting and things that were like just, things you wouldn't talk about back in the day. Totally inappropriate. And we got an EVP of we think it's Fred, or it could be Minnie, because we have somebody who talks in a really raspy voice, but I feel like it's a female that smokes a lot of cigarettes. But they said, you're not very proper, are you? So it's like they weren't really appreciating our conversation that night. So yeah, we've gotten kind of experiences that way too.
Obviously, you've been doing this for quite a while now, and I suppose it probably never becomes too ordinary because, every day, every investigation might be slightly different. But I'm assuming for the most part, it's kind of the norm to at least someone like yourself. But what's sort of maybe a time where you've actually been quite frightened or something very unexpected has happened that sort of put you out and really, I guess, had a bit of an impact? I'd love to hear about an experience like that.
I think we always kind of go to this house called Whispers Estate, for that kind of bad experience. I guess I wouldn't say bad, but, the most probably, like you say, impacted. So kind of the history behind that is there was an unethical doctor. So he did bad things with his female patients. They buried a lot of the body parts in the backyard. His daughter started a fire. So then he mercy killed her with morphine, overdosed her to put her out of her misery. They've had a child die there. They had a really grumpy guy die there the day of his retirement. So he does a lot of bad things too. So just a lot of negativity associated with this house. Just right from the get-go when we walked in, there was just like this constant, and I've never felt this before, like energy, electricity, almost like there was cobwebs on your face. Like, and we were all doing it, like constantly wiping your face, constantly. It was really annoying. We saw wet footprints coming up from the basement and going outside that particular night. And it was just really a lot of energy in the air. But we went up into this closet where the man had passed away. And we were told a lot of negative things happen, like people get scratched or they get locked in the closet. Just some bad things. Even the owners didn't want to come up there if the closet door was open. They wanted it locked when you were done. And we decided to go in the closet, of course, because that's what we do. But it's like a big walk-in closet. So, you know, there's plenty of room. They actually had like a little table, a couple chairs in there for you to sit. So I was kind of in there and I had this voice in my head that said, get out of this closet. So I was like, okay. But I don't like being in closets anyway because I just always feel like the door is going to shut and I'm going to get locked in. So I just thought, oh, it's just my paranoia. So I stepped out. And the spirit box was running at the time and it said, shut this door. And we didn't do that either. And so Teresa is actually sitting towards the back of the closet in a chair, wooden chair. And then all of a sudden she comes flying out about 4 feet across the room, her and this chair. She lands on her hands and knees and she is like something forcefully picked up that chair and threw me. So that was like the most at that point I was like, oh, my God, these things really can do stuff to you. So that was kind of my profound experience that I had actually ever seen and been a part of. So that was kind of a freaky incident. We all vowed we would never go back. And then last year we did go back. Teresa would not go. But it was a completely different experience. Like we didn't have the cobwebs and it was a totally different night. So, yeah.
I suppose from your time doing this research, what is a spirit? Why are they still here? What's your sort of understanding? Have you even gotten that answer from any of these entities before? Why do some people pass over to the other side? And why are some people stuck here or their sort of imprint in that sort of time remains here for some reason? Like, what's your understanding of that?
I haven't really gotten like a whole bunch of answers from the spirits itself. It was just like, I'm happy and they don't want to leave, that kind of thing. Is pretty much most of the answers I get, but sometimes I feel like also it's maybe some unfinished business. Maybe they're scared to cross over. If you kind of think about back in the day, even if you committed the smallest of crime, they feel like they betrayed their God. And if they, go forth, they may not make it there just because of that small thing they did, back in the day as religious was more prevalent. So there's those kind of factors as well, too. But, some spirits I've talked to said they can come and go. Some say that they're stuck where they are, but other people just say that they're just happy where they are. Maybe some people are just fine. Like in the case of the Boyd House, I just think because they were such prominent founders of the town and it was probably just such a happy time and they died, Fred and Minnie died a couple years apart. I think they just kind of hung out for one another and waited. And now that they're reunited, they're just going to stay in their home and be happy.
Yeah. I guess it's a nice way to look at it is that a haunting isn't necessarily a negative thing. These spirits are just kind of hanging out, doing their thing. They're quite happy where they are. Why kind of go and ruin a good thing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I ask them too, is there anything I can do for you? Anything that you want? Those kind of things. And so I try to bring them gifts. I mean, we've had one that kept saying they liked fudge. And so we brought them fudge and, things like that. And if they tell us, I bring it.
I do get this question here and there sometimes from listeners who are interested in getting into paranormal investigation, but aren't really sure how to do that. They don't really sure about the equipment or anything like that. So do you have any advice for people who have a passion, have an interest, and they want to start getting into this kind of field?
Just definitely reach out to any of the paranormal groups. And there, sometimes they are looking for people, and that would be a good way to train rather than just venturing out on your own to begin with. That's kind of where we started a little bit. So it was a little bit of trial and error and learning. And then you just kind of learn what kind of equipment you want. So just doing your basic research, and there's so much out there now with the internet on, you know, what the equipment are, different kinds of things, how to get started. So there's just, it's just more resources nowadays than there were back when I started, even just, you know, gosh, 12 years ago, available for those that want to start out. But I would just recommend, always just be respectful of your spirits, because they, you know, they're people too, in a way, you know, even though they're physically not here. But also you can come across something that's a little cranky, and you know, they can hurt you. So, physically, if they have enough energy, so you really got to be careful.
100%. It's sort of playing with something that we don't really know a ton about. So that's what I always say, is just be respectful with anything you kind of do, and try to be as knowledgeable as you possibly can. But I think that, as you mentioned, is a great way to get into it, though, is reaching out to some local investigators in your area and see if they'll take you on, or, you know, kind of trying to learn from people who are doing it is obviously a great way to get stuck into it.
Oh, yeah. And then it gets addicting. And then you're buying stuff.
If people want to reach out to you, or, you know, if they're interested in coming and checking out your property, what's the best way for people to get in touch with you, and what's the kind of options for people to come and have a look at your property? Or
yeah, if people are interested in booking nights, what we're doing right now, it's $200 for a night, and that's good for up to 8 people. And then you get the house from 3 p.m. till noon the next day. Like I said, you're there by yourself. You're free to roam around all aspects of the house. It's fully functioning. We have heat, air conditioner units in the summertime, showers, bathroom. So what you can do is just check us out on our website, which is boydhouse217.com. And then if you want to, you can just email us at boydhouse217@yahoo.com. So that's kind of the best way to get a hold of us.
Amazing. And if not, that's a pretty affordable Airbnb for 8 people, isn't it? $200.
Yeah. People, as I travel around, it's kind of like, as we talk, we're like, oh gosh, you know, what would we like if this was our place? So time is a big thing, because, you know, I kind of feel like people can come in, kind of get set up, then they can have dinner, then they can investigate. And then if you're up all night, you can sleep a couple hours before you have to go home. You don't have to rush out at the crack of dawn. We've, you know, added and upgraded. You know, we have a little pizza maker and a fridge. And then also we just recently added a coffee station. So people are excited about that. And then we actually added some snacks. So we have like different chips and pretzels and kind of things too. So we're just kind of making it like a little homey atmosphere for everyone.
Oh, I love that. That's great. All right. Well, Jill, thank you so much for coming on and telling us about your very interesting life that you live, doing paranormal investigating and owning a haunted house. I think a lot of people are going to be very envious of you after listening to this, because I feel like it's kind of the dream for anyone who wants to kind of go down that path with this stuff. So I thank you so much for taking the time.
Oh, yes. Thanks so much for having me. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Well, there you go. Thank you so much to Jill once again. I hope you guys really enjoyed that episode. I was just fascinated with someone who has kind of been able to live out their dream and purchase a haunted property, which they can use at any time and, you know, obviously rent out to other investigators to further their investigations and knowledge. It's actually a really great thing to sort of be able to give back, and also that kind of fun, selfish thing of, you know, people work hard and, you know, spending your money on a haunted house, like, why not? I can't say I've ever come across that in the past. So it was really exciting and refreshing to hear that take from a paranormal investigator. Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed that. Please check out all of our previous episodes as well, and of course episodes in the near future as well. As I mentioned earlier, check out our socials. We're on Facebook and Instagram. Jump on the Patreon if you want to help support the podcast. I really appreciate that. Thanks so much, guys. I'll catch you in another podcast episode really soon. Thanks. Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.